Thank you for listening to the Hope City Community Church Podcast. We pray that your life will be forever changed by what you hear today. Our goal is to encourage, inspire, and challenge you to experience the real Jesus. Thanks for listening. Now, let's tune in.
Well, good morning, church. Glad everybody's here today. I'm Pastor Josh, the senior pastor at Hope City. We're glad you're here. Today, we are going to launch a new series called At War. At War. The main reason why I feel the Lord leading me to teach this is because I feel like we have entered into a new season of spiritual warfare. Has anybody else in here noticed? It just seems like things are torquing up. Things are getting a little bit more intense spiritually. It seems like the enemy is causing more and more of a ruckus these days. And you and I have the authority, the Bible says, to tear down strongholds with the weapons of our warfare. And so whether you believe it or not, whether you feel like it or not, whether you understand the terms, you're at war. Congratulations. So what do you do with that? How do you manage that as a believer? Well, today, we're just going to talk about one of the first pieces of your attire, your battle wear, your garb, your uniform. We're going to talk about the belt of truth. All of this can be found in Ephesians chapter 6, starting around verse 10, going to verse 18. And speaking of that verse, how many of you guys were lucky enough to get one of these when you came in? Well, we ran out, which is a good problem. You know, we ordered several hundred and they're all gone. That means people were taking two and three, and that's okay. Pass them around. Who did not get one? Who did not get one? Here you go, right there. Boom. Now you got one. All right. Listen, I'll have more next week. Just come. We'll make sure we put one in your hand. The reason why I want you to wear these is because I want you to start having a physical reminder that you are at war. There is an enemy to your spirit, yes or no, right? So with that knowledge, with that understanding, I want you to begin to prepare your mind and your heart for the battle that is to come. Can I tell you, there's a war raging. Now, I want to be very clear before I get started. I don't teach the theology of dualism. What is that? I'm glad you asked. The theology of dualism says that the devil is equal to God, and they are constantly battling back and forth. They are not equals, not even remotely close. As a matter of fact, the scripture says that Jesus has already handed the devil an eternal defeat, right? You and I are more than conquerors. We're already victorious, but it doesn't mean the devil's not going to throw some curveballs our way on the way out. So we've got to be ready. Now, I also want to say this. Spiritual warfare is something you have to be very, very wise about. Because if not, you'll have people running around here blaming stuff on the devil for their bad mistakes. We're going to be wise. Can I tell you, the devil can't make you sin. He can tempt you, but he can't force you to sin, right? So what does that mean? That means a lot of us are dealing with consequences from our decisions the devil had nothing to do with. Since pleasurable for a season, you chose that pleasure, but you didn't read the end of the verse. It says the end thereof leads to destruction. And so it could be that the devil ain't got nothing to do with your turmoil. It could just be you got to go to the Word and get better wisdom to make better decisions, right? And so we're going to break this down with great practicality, with great wisdom. We're going to go to the Word, and we're going to talk about spiritual warfare. We're going to read in Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10 through verse 18. Let me kind of set this up for you. Paul is imprisoned, the writer of the book of Ephesians. He's writing to a church in Ephesus, and he is talking about spiritual warfare. And spiritual warfare is this, understanding that there is an enemy to your soul that wants to bring you destruction, but that you have a capability to conquer that through wisdom in the Word and live a better life, right? That's basically spiritual warfare. Now, Paul is writing this letter to the church of Ephesus from behind bars, and it's a Roman prison. So as he's writing this letter, he only sees a couple of things. He sees stone walls, steel gates, and Roman guards. Why is that important? Because as he is giving a description of the uniform of a warrior or a military person, he's seeing Roman garb. And so today we're going to talk about the details that come along with that. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18, let's read. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God." Turn to your neighbor and say, "The full armor." Turn to your other neighbor and say, "The whole thing, baby." Yeah. Put on the partial armor of God. Put on a couple pieces. Full. Okay, I want you to get that. "So that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. After you've done everything to stand, stand firm then. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." That last line, be alert. Be alert. If there's one reason for this series, it's so that you will be alert. The church has been lulled to sleep far too long by the necessities of paying bills, relational frustrations, raising our kids, travel, sports. You put a label on it, it's irrelevant. We have been lulled to sleep to focus on temporal things, and we are overlooking the more important eternal matters. And so this is me telling you, wake up, church. Be alert. Understand there is warfare that's taking place, and you are a part of it whether you want to be or not. So you might as well engage and take some territory back. And so today we're going to talk about being alert and putting on the full armor of God. The first piece of that armor is the belt of truth. We're going to take a deep look today at the belt of truth. Ephesians 6:14 says, "Stand firm then. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist." Let's break that down real quick. Stand firm then. When then? After you have buckled your waist with the belt of truth. You see, one of the biggest problems we have is we have people out here standing firm without a belt of truth. They're just standing in opinions and concepts and wokeness and all kind of things that go by the wayside, up and down, left and right. The Bible calls them like a ship being tossed about by the waves. They're not standing on truth. And this says, once you get the belt on, that's when you take a stand. In other words, take a stand on something that does not change. Take a stand on the truth. Now, what is the truth? If you look up truth as a definition, this is what it tells you. It says, that which is true or in accordance with fact or reality. Now, there's a misunderstanding when it comes to the belt of truth, because people confuse it with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The belt of truth is the scripture, make no mistake, but they are different in how they are approached and obtained and used, okay? When you are putting on the belt of truth, that is the acquiring of the knowledge of the word of God. That is the cinching on of scriptures into your spirit, man. The sword of the Spirit is when you use those verses to attack the enemy, right? And so we're going to talk about the sword of the Spirit in a few weeks. But for today, I just want you to understand they both are speaking of the scripture. One is building and edifying. The other is yielding in battle, okay? One is loading the weapon. The other's firing the weapon, okay? You got to load that weapon with the word of God. Amen. Today... Man, I wish I had a better way to say this. Truth is kind of hard to find. It's rare, isn't it? absolute truth is like a unicorn. As a matter of fact, I only know of one place you can get absolute truth. That's the Word of God. Now, I don't know if you talk to people like I talk to people, but I hear some of the craziest stuff. Like, well, it's my truth. What? My truth? Well, there is no your truth, my truth. There's just the truth. I mean, am I right? There's the truth. Matter of fact, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He went on to say, no man come to the Father unless he comes through me. Right? The way, one, only, singular, the way, the truth. There's no other truth. He said, you can personify, which leads me to an incredible point. You can know the truth. On a first name basis, you can know the truth. His name is Jesus. He said, I'm the truth. I love the exquisite way he lays the smack down on all other religions. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He says, anybody else tells you anything different? Lying to you. They're lying to you. And the scripture says that anyone who lies is a child of the devil. It even says that lying is the devil's native tongue. He can't tell the truth if he wanted to. So knowing who the truth is, Jesus, how do we apply this belt of truth? What's the practical purpose? How do we obtain this belt of truth? Well, before we get there, I want to talk about the reason it's so important to apply truth to everything we do. In our culture today, people saying stuff like what I said earlier, this is my truth, or, well, this is my experience. And how many of y'all heard this? Well, you do you. What? Crazy. It makes zero sense. You do you. How about you do the Word of God? How about we will do it God's way and maybe win some things, right? Maybe stay victorious. Hello. But instead, we have a world of watered down believers who don't want to rock a boat with the truth. Three people. Okay. I'm coming. Hang on. Absolute truth. How many of y'all remember teething tablets? Teething tablets? Okay. Maddie, the girl who was singing with that's my daughter. She's 16. When she was born, they would give you a new baby kit. You go to the doctor and it's a, here's a few diapers, here's some wipes, some formula, some teething tablets, some, you're like, what are the teething tablets? When they break, their teeth start cutting in, you're going to need to put and it will ease some of the pain for the baby. You just rub them, and they dissolve, and you rub them on the gums. Man, we went through teething tablets like Tic Tacs. If they cried over something else, we just teething. You know, I would eat them rascals. If I had a headache, I had a teething tablet. I'd just eat one, right? Man, we love teething tablets. Well, we did. Now, Nora, who's 7, when she's born, they give me a new baby welcome kit. You got a new baby. I was like, yeah, we got another girl. We're excited. And I got Rooster in between. He had teething tablets as well. But then Nora's born 8 years later after Gabe. And I said, I think y'all forgot to put the teething tablets in the bag. Wendy over there, we need our teething tablets, please. Y'all don't tell her I said that. Don't tell her I said that. But the reason you need them as a parent, babies lose their minds occasionally, and them teething tablets seem to work, give them something to focus on and, you know, soothe them a little bit. So when they didn't put them in the bag, I asked the nurse, I said, I think somebody's been going through your bags. They know where the good stuff is. I get it. But I kind of want my teething tablets, right? And she goes, oh, no, sir. Teething tablets are toxic. We don't give those to babies. I was at this hospital and you swore up and down, you gave me my first fix. Now all of a sudden they're toxic. Fast forward to today. Some doctors passing them out again. If we can't even go to science and medicine for absolute truth, what is happening in our world? If you're going through something physically, you can get an opinion to go any direction you want. You just got to find the right doctor. I found a doctor online this week saying, after 40, you shouldn't work out with heavy weights. I was like, praise God. It's a doctor I'll sign up for right here. At least do a sit-up to get out of bed, and I'm good. You know, I'm ready to go. So you can find, man, this doctor's prescribing milkshakes out here. You hear me? Like, that's what got me in the condition I'm in. That's what got me in the condition I'm in. Anyway, can we all agree that absolute truths are becoming more rare? Okay. The other thing we've got to be really careful about is that we don't build foundations based on opinions. Got to be absolute truths. Picture with me just for a second. My boy Scott Beckman is a pilot for Southwest Airlines. Picture for a second. You're on a flight. It just took off. And you hear,
ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking.
I think we're going north. I'm pretty sure we're at 29 to 30,000 feet. Not certain. We could be falling to our death for all I know. But I think we're okay. And I hope that we're going to land on a runway. No guarantees, but I hope. Keep your fingers crossed. You would start looking for a parachute. You'd be fighting. It'd be five parachutes. It'd be five people fighting like Hunger Games in that mug. You hear me? Why? Well, because captains don't give opinions. You see, they also don't give their ideas. They have tools that give them absolutes to make sure this thing lands safely. Can you imagine? I bet they wouldn't sell a single plane ticket. Well, I think we're going to Arkansas. Could be Texas. Let's see what happens. No, the world doesn't work that way. As a matter of fact, we have worked very diligently to create and to find tools that register absolutes. Why? Because we're trying to go somewhere. Trying to accomplish something. Can I tell you, I have a tool that gives absolutes. So if you're trying to go somewhere and accomplish something, I have a tool for you today. It's called the Word of God. An absolute truth. An absolute truth. So I want to show you this really cool picture. I think we have it. It's a picture of a Roman soldier in the belt. The belt was really interesting. Because you could not have the entire uniform of a Roman soldier without starting with the belt. The belt was very, very valuable because it did several things. The first thing it did was it held the breastplate. They would put the belt on top of the breastplate, and it would hold the breastplate firm to keep it from flapping, right, and exposing the vital organs. The next thing it would do is it would hold the sword by a sheath. It also would hold small medallions of war signifying who they were and which regiment they belonged to. This front flap here on the front, this was an ornate deal where if they were in so many wars, they would get a medallion. So somebody who was decorated like this was a bad mamma jamma. He had been in lots and lots of wars and was still ticking, and so he would be or just completely ornate in his belt. Another thing that I found this week that's interesting is that flap has purpose. It protects reproductive organs. That flap protects what that man reproduces. Caught that, didn't you? Okay, let me say it again. The belt of the Roman centurion protected that which he reproduced. as a Christian, we have to be careful with the influence God has given us, that we are not reproducing opinion, but that we are reproducing facts according to the Word of God. Can I tell you, check your theology. There's some weird stuff being taught out here. If it don't line up with the Word, leave it alone. Can I tell you, Hope City, that's the way we do things. If the Word talks about it, we believe it. If it ain't in there, we leave it alone. It's simple. You also can only reproduce what you have in you. So these belts were very valuable. It is the only piece of the uniform that the Roman guard had to wear on and off duty. On and off duty. The rest of all that he could take off. He could take off the breastplate, the sword, didn't have to carry the sword, didn't have to carry his shield, didn't have to carry any of that. But if you saw him publicly, he had to have his belt on. It was his stripes. It told a story of who he was. Can I tell you, the Bible tells a story of who you are? So why is it that we have this absolute belt of truth and we're believing what people are saying about us? Nobody else. Nobody else struggles with identity in here. Nobody in society struggling with identity these days. Maybe y'all must not have a TV like I got a TV. Y'all must not have social media. Can I tell you, one of the biggest problems the enemy is waging war right now on the identity of God's children. He's telling them everything except the truth. You got... Oh, can I step just a little bit deeper? Can I go a little deeper into it? You got boys believing they're girls. And they'll fight you over that. Can I tell you, they're not bad people. These are wonderful people. People that the church will open our arms and love them well, but we're going to love them all the way to the truth. But see, we got churches saying, oh, we can't mention sexuality from the pulpit. Leave that church. The devil's waging war and you won't step in the middle of it to reach somebody? What kind of church is that? It's not a church, that's a waiting room. Get out of there. Your identity established in heavenly places. Parents, hear me. Love your children, but give them truth. I promise you two things at Hope City. We will always love you. We will teach the truth. See, right now, the devil's working behind the scenes to create our gospel and turn it into hate speech, to reframe it as angry instead of loving. That's why you and I have to be so careful. That's why social media is so dangerous. You see, when you type something, your heart can't be seen. That's why when you really got beef with somebody, go straight up, go talk to them face to face. Because then they can hear your heart. They can see your smile. When you type and stuff, you say, hey, man, I pray that God's blessings be upon you and that God's truth will reveal itself. If they're in a hurting place and they're reading that, I wish you were blessed and I wish you would find the truth. Wait, that's not how I typed that. Context matters. Church, be wise. This is a war we're in. The devil has snuck into our society and planted these identity bombs on the youth. So now they're confused, and we have to be willing to step onto the battlefield as believers and say, I'm sorry, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He knit you together while you were in your mama's womb. You have a purpose. And this whole thing about being confused, the devil trying to steal your purpose. God has big plans for you. Don't let the devil rob you. Right? Speak to their purpose, not their pain. think Mel said it best last week. He said, it's high time that the church starts focusing on the things that we have in common and in love and not lead with what people are doing wrong. Can I tell you, the church has whipped people with the Word of God. We should have loved with the Word of God. We got to fix it. We got to fix it. So, practical. I want to hurry. Practical. This belt of truth. How do we put it on? How do we put it on? First, you have to know what it is. It's the Scripture. It's the Word of God. I love that it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. You will never get a contradiction of God and the Word. It's the truth. So you can't be absolute and be shifty. Now, people are shifty. Scripture is not. We have to build our lives on that which does not shift. So, truth of God's Word. Next, how do we put it on? How do we wear it every day? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says this. All Scripture, some Scripture, just like the New Testament. Uh-oh, that hurt somebody, didn't it? That got somebody. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All Scripture. So to put on the belt of truth, every day you get up, it's the first thing you start with. Putting your belt on. Can I tell you, before my feet even hit the floor, I've quoted Scripture. Why? Because I read connection cards. I see the enemy and their attacks on your lives. I see the turmoil that is caused from doing it man's way. I've decided to do it God's way. And I tell you, He will make grace for you to do it His way. But you have to know what His way is, right? So applying the belt of truth is getting up every day and cinching on that belt. Some of us got to cinch harder on our belts than others. You ever had to lay down and put a belt on? Don't say nothing. Secret of us healthier folks. Cinch that belt on, right? And then you feel it the rest of the day. How do you feel a belt? Holds everything up. Holds some things in. Can I tell you, the Word of God does that? Holds us up. And I'm really grateful for the things it holds in. There's some things I'd like to let out according to the flesh. And transparent. I don't feel like being Pastor Josh in traffic sometimes. I don't feel like being Pastor Josh when somebody speaks harshly to one of my children. I don't feel like being a pastor when somebody is aggressive toward my wife. But the belt holds things in. Now, this Scripture says that there's four applications to this belt. Teach, rebuke, correct, and train. Let's talk about them real fast as I'm closing. Number one, to put on the belt, you have to teach the truth. You have to teach it to yourself, your family, and to others. Now, look at the pattern there. There's a reason for that order. You can't teach your children what you're not doing yourself. They're too smart. They'll pick up on it. They will see you as the fraud you are. Apply it, then teach it. This is not a do as I say culture anymore. It's a do as I do. Right? You got a lot of families in turmoil because mom and dad want to teach it, not do it. Get your house in order. Learn it yourself. Teach it to yourself. Then teach it to your family. Then teach it to others. While we're at it, there's also people out here that's out here putting Scripture on Facebook, but they won't say it in their house. You're out here teaching others about Jesus, and you ain't taught your children about Jesus. Stop it. Wake up. This is war. promise you this, the devil cares less about your friends as much as he does about your children. The Bible says that righteous indignation and correction begins in the house of the Lord. It starts with us first, right? So teach the scripture. Next, rebuke. This is good for rebuke. Use the truth of God's word to rectify the weaknesses of our lives and those in the lives entrusted to us and our circle. Can I tell you, there is not one perfect person in here. Each of us have flaws. Each of us have weaknesses. We have temptations. And the scripture is powerful to strengthening us in our weak areas. The Bible says it's useful for rebuking, for fixing weaknesses. Now, let me also say this. We got people out here rebuking others when they need to be rebuking themselves. Jesus said it like this. He said, don't talk about the splinter in my eye when you got a plank hanging out of yours. Right? This person was in first service, but I said this anyway. I get email, strange email. And one of the ones I got here recently was a man who said this to me. You don't really believe that a man was swallowed by a whale and regurgitated on a beach. Oh, you mean Jonah and the whale? Yes, Pastor, that's what I'm talking about. Do I believe it? 100%. 100%. You don't really believe there were giants, do you? Yes. I watched the NBA. There's some mugs close to it right now. And here's what was happening. This gentleman had been deceived, and he was spreading his deception. So I had to lay a little spiritual rebuke. Y'all been watching wrestling too much. Somebody lay SmackDown from the top rope. Y'all better get off WrestleMania, boy. Y'all better quit. The SmackDown. Darn, too much. So, oh, man, that's great. This guy had let deception ease into his belief. See, here's what deception will do. Deception will cause you to buy lesser truths than aren't absolute. And so you'll start to doubt greater truths. And so you start selling yourself for lesser and lesser truth, right? And I tell you, every word in the Bible is true. And see, here's what you have to understand. Is Jonah in the well a hard pill to swallow in the physical? Of course. But God doesn't focus on the physical and the natural. He's a supernatural God. So tell me what's easier, a whale swallowing a man? I can show you a YouTube video right now of a dude in a kayak getting swallowed by a blue whale right now. What's harder to believe, that? That your sins are forgiven. Because I tell you, that's the ultimate goal of deception. If you start shifting sand at all toward the Bible, it all loses its value. So I wrote the man back, and I just simply told him this. The Bible's true, and you have a choice to make. Either take it all or leave it all. But if you leave it all, do me a favor and lose the title Christian. There is a war being waged right now. And if you are not for us, you are against us. If you are not 100% for the truth, leave it alone and walk away. You don't believe all of it, don't take any of it. Just cherry picking all the blessings and stuff? You kidding? Oh, listen, I want the blessings, but the Bible also says that it rains on the just and the unjust. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. There's some work that comes along with this believing thing, right? There's some struggles that come with this life, yes or no. So I had to rebuke this guy. Next, it's good for correction. We make straight our paths and make sure that we're going in the right direction. It's to constantly measure our lives according to the word. Now, here's the problem there. People read the scripture and try to bend the scripture to their life instead of their life to the scripture. People will cherry pick verses out of context to support a destructive lifestyle. But if you read it in its wholeness, it tells a pretty clear story that sin is not beneficial to you in any form. And while we're at it, we have church corporately done a pretty trashy job at making one sin worse than another one. Can I tell you, it's all just separation from Jesus. You can put a different flavor on it. It's all poison. But we have made, well, that sin, that's worse than, you know why we do that? So they don't look at our sin. Oh, don't look over here. I don't struggle with X, Y, and Z. I just got A, B, and C sins. These little sins over here. The whole time God's saying, that sin will send you to hell quick as X, Y, and Z will. You either need grace or you don't. If you need the grace, take it. But then freely give it away as well. We're going to sit here and we're going to talk about correction. Again, make sure you are giving freely that which you have received freely. Right? Another thing while we're talking about correction, let me also say this. The correction of God's word does not apply to non-believers. Hold up. What'd you say, Pastor? Yeah, because they haven't subscribed to it yet. They don't believe it yet. You will never win a soul trying to correct somebody. Not ever. Now, you can sharpen a saved soul. You can challenge a believer to do better with correction. But we have taken correction into the world when correction was for the house. Wonder why people think we're hypocrites. It's good for correction. Lastly, good for training. Make a daily regimen of learning and remembering the word of God. Past week, I went to the gym 4 days. That's a win. Thank you. I'm proud. I took all of this to the gym 4 times. Now listen, my record before is like a day and a half a week, something like that. But I went to the gym, and I go at like 9:30 at night, make sure all the house stuff's finished, kids are getting tucked in, I take off. And I go in, and the first night I'm in there, I see this guy in there doing these curls. I'm like, man, that dude got some guns. I mean, big old arms on him. I said, man, I like to have them guns. But I saw him lifting that weight, and I was like, I don't need guns like that. I'm okay with what I got. Really, I'm good. And I'm seeing people, man, with abs and stuff. Then I see them writing on a little board what they wrote for the day. And I'm like, I don't need abs that bad either. They ain't gravy on one of them boards. I eat gravy at least twice a day. It's kind of my thing. Now listen. Training is not training unless it's regimen. You are not training if you just do something occasionally. Right? So for us to train ourselves in the word, it's got to be part of a regimen. I'm not saying you don't miss a day occasionally. Of course, that's going to happen to anybody. But I'm saying more days than not, you are in the word of God. Now, I also want to challenge you on this. Usually when new believers reach out to me, they have two questions. Number one, what just happened? Like, what does it mean that I'm saved? And number two, and it's just, they're probably 50-50. Number two, where should I start reading scripture? Well, I tell them, first download the Bible app. If you don't have a Bible, we'll get you a Bible. But don't get caught up online on these reading plans. We're being honest with ourselves. our competitive nature can sometimes leak into our biblical training. Let me explain. Up until about 2 years ago, I had daily reading of sometimes between 5 and 8 chapters a day, but I retained none of it. I changed it. I was speaking to a mentor, and he says, "Hey," he said, "what'd you read yesterday?" And I was like, "Dang, I did read. I know I read a proverb. I know I read some Psalms, some from the Old Testament, some from the New Testament." He goes, "How do you know that?" "That's what I do every day." He goes, "You can't remember where you read?" I said, "Yeah, Old Testament, I think I was in Deuteronomy." And he goes, "Not valuable to you." He said, "You have not written the word on your heart." He said, "Your belt has not been fastened with the word." He said, "You need to strap the word onto you where it does not leave you." He said, "This is what I challenge you to do." He said, "Number one," he goes, "it's not a race for the quick. It's for the ones who endure." And he said, "You're letting your competitive nature want to check a box on an app that, ooh, I read this today, so by December, I'll have my whole Bible done." Right? Anybody else on knocking the whole Bible out a year kind of a thing? Listen, nothing wrong with it. Take off. Do it. Do it every year. But I challenge you, how much are you remembering? See, it wasn't until I started taking 2 or 3 verses a day and really meditating. I'm talking about chewing these verses up. Really just regurgitating them over and over and over and over and writing them down, erasing it, throwing the paper away, write it down again, type it, write it down, read it, study it, don't look at it, then rewrite it. Study this thing, train in it. Repetition in the word. But you can't do that whole chapters at a time. Let's be honest. There might be the occasional person with like a photographic memory, and praise God. If that's the case, read the whole book, remember the whole book. But I've got to recognize my limitations. My limitations, if I really want to strap this truth on, I've got to take it in bite-sized pieces. And so it wasn't until I started doing that I really started retaining the word of God. Why is that important? Because I promise you there's going to be a day that a temptation, a trial, a frustration, fill in the blank comes, and you will not have access to your Bible. What do you do then? Well, then you go to the belt of truth that you have equipped, you have wrapped around yourself. It has been attached to you. You reach for those scriptures, and when you whip them out, they become the sword of the Spirit. You fight that temptation. You fight that frustration. You fight that sin. But listen, you reaching for a sword right now, you ain't got, because you're trying to put too much in. Read it all. Yes, read it all every day. You can read the whole Bible every day. But listen, what are you retaining? Train yourself according to the scripture to make a daily regimen of learning and remembering. Remembering is the key word. Your word, O Lord, have I written on my heart that what? I might not sin against thee. What's written on your heart? You got to know the truth. You got to know the truth. You got to write it down. You got to remember. As I close today, I just want to kind of wrap all this up to say this. Welcome to the battlefield. Ignorance is no longer a response or an excuse. You have been made alert and aware of things that are going on that you need to begin to function in. There is a very real enemy to your soul, and God has equipped you with everything you need to do a good work. And so with that being said, this is how I want to wrap things up today. There's 2 people here that I just want to pray for. I'm not going to ask you to come down. I'm not even going to ask you to stand up. What I am going to ask you to do is to personalize them. Number one, you say, "Josh, I don't know the truth. I don't know Jesus. But I realize we're at war and I need him. I need the truth." With every head bowed, every eye closed, you say, "Josh, I'm here. I just want you to pray for me that I'm ready to make Jesus my focus. I'm ready to do it God's way, not my way. If that's you. Nobody's looking around. Just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hands all over the room. Thank you for your honesty. Praise God. Celebrate that. Okay, next question. You're here. And you say, I'm a believer, but I'm not equipped. I have been derelict putting on the belt of truth. Yes, I have the belt. I know the belt, but I don't wear it. I don't remember it. I'm not training in it. I'm not functioning according to the Word of God. For those people, I'm going to pray for an absolute zeal for the Scripture. I'm going to pray for an insatiable appetite for the Word of God, that you will not be able to rest until you digest the Word. So if that's you, you say, Josh, I need more of the Word, and it's time for me to take this thing serious. We're at war, and I need to load my gun. If that's you, raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Praise God. Thank you for your honesty. But Lord, you saw the hands. There are people here that need to make a change. Whether they need to know you, whether they need to load the truth in their life. Help us. Help us. Your word says that we will know the truth and the truth will set us free. The truth. Lord, in a world where absolute truth is so stinking hard to find, you have given it to us freely and it's obvious. But Lord, here's my prayer. For those who need more of the word, would you create an appetite in them for your word? Would you create a fire that is completely insatiable, that burns to consume the word and to digest it, to learn it, to train? A daily regimen, a daily feeding, a daily dose that we take into our eyes, into our ears, but we strap it around our waist. We wear the truth. Got it ready and handy. Did we need it? Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, create that hunger now. Tonight before they go to bed, remind them it's time. Tomorrow when they wake up, remind them it's time. Tomorrow when they go to bed, it's time. Remind them whenever there's a moment of wisdom and opportunity, take them to your word. Draw them by your loving kindness to your holy and perfect word. And I'll give you praise for that. Now, if you raised your hand for salvation, do this for me. Everybody just repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. I choose to do it your way. I choose your truth. I need a new life. So you answer all those. I receive you now, and I thank you for the opportunity to be a child of God. I believe that Jesus died on the cross, was raised from the dead, just for me. So receive me now as your child. And from this day forward, I'll follow you. I thank you for your eternal love for me. Lead me in your way. Lead me in your word. And I'll give you praise for it. Jesus' name. You would stand to your feet. Next week, we're going to go deeper into this amazing detail that Paul gives us. Ephesians 6. I promise I have more bracelets, but you are at war. You're at war. Mark it down. Mind yourself daily. It's so easy to get focused on temporary things. Don't let that happen. Stay focused. Next week, we're going to talk about the breastplate of righteousness. I tell you, it's powerful. It's a great application. It'll change your life. Without anything else, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to turn you loose. I appreciate you being here. Father, bless us and keep us. be gracious to us and show us your favor. Make your face shine upon us. Give us peace, both now and forevermore. Cover us with the blood of Jesus. From the top of our head to the soles of our feet, thank you that no weapon formed against us will prosper. Lord, not even our own laziness, not even our opinions or the opinions of others. We're going to go to the absolute truth of God's word. As it pertains to anything in our life, we're going to do our best to amend our life to it and not it to our life. I thank you that from this day forward, just an overwhelming desire to know you and know your word for each person here. Bring us back next week with more of that word and more of the wisdom from your word. That's our prayer. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. We love you. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Hope City Community Church Podcast. We pray that what you've heard today will bless you until the next time we meet again. We hope you'll join us again soon to be encouraged, inspired, and challenged to experience the real Jesus. Take good care, and God bless.